Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I take the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's scripture is entitled Wildfire, and it is based on Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 41. Now, bear with me. This is a bit of a storytelling time here. I'm going to read 41 verses from the Acts of the Apostles. Yet I think it is important to do so because we often tend to just read verses 1 through 21 and we skip over the length of Peter's sermon, but I think Peter's sermon is rather significant and ought to be heard. So here we go, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 41. Let us dive into the Word today. When Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were suddenly surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans? Every one of them. How can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the 11 other apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above, the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood there before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man whose credentials proved God to you through miracles, wonders, and signs which God performed through him among you. You yourselves know this. In accordance with God's established plan and foreknowledge, he was betrayed. You, with the help of wicked men, had Jesus killed by nailing him to a cross. God raised him up. God freed him from death's dreadful grip, since it was impossible for death to hang on to him. David says about him, I foresaw that the Lord was always with me. Because he is at my right hand, I won't be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my body will live in hope because you won't abandon me to the grave, nor permit your Holy One to experience decay. You have shown me the paths of life. Your presence will fill me with happiness. Brothers and sisters, I can speak confidently about the patriarch David. He died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this very day. Because he was a prophet, he knew that God promised him with a solemn pledge to seat one of his descendants on his throne. Having seen this beforehand, David spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he wasn't abandoned to the grave, nor did his body experience decay. This Jesus God raised up. We are all witnesses to that fact. He was exalted to God's right hand and received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. He poured out the Spirit, and you are seeing and hearing the results of him having done so. David didn't descend into heaven, yet he says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel know beyond question that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the crowd heard this, they were deeply troubled. They said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Change your hearts and lives. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God invites." With many other words, he testified to them and encouraged them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized. God brought about 3,000 people into the community on that day. Amen. Fire is both a life giver and a force to be reckoned with. Amen. Humans, when they can harness it, use fire to do all sorts of great things. Light up the darkness, heat up their homes, cook with, seal off wounds to prevent bleeding to death, melt sand into glass, etc., to launch rockets into the sky. Yet fire cannot be harnessed completely, can it? What happens when a fire is uncontained? The fire spreads, burning up more and more things along the way. We've seen this in plenty of instances. The wildfires that raged up in Alberta, Canada, the wildfires that raged in California and do so all the time, the recent volcano eruptions with the lava pouring down into homes in Hawaii. Then, the tongues of fire above the heads of the disciples symbolizes a lot in a most appropriate way when we think about all the things that fire can do. First, it represents the illumination. You know, when the light bulb goes off in one's head and he or she comes to an understanding. Light bulbs are the new tongues of fire, if you know what I mean. And it was in that moment that the Holy Spirit filled the disciples and illumined them. And they, in that moment, finally understood who they were in Christ and what it meant to live the risen life. Second, fire equals energy and passion. And the Holy Spirit filled the disciples' souls with a holy fire. And boy, was their response passionate. And they began speaking in all different languages and began to preach to people, telling them the good news and causing people to take notice. Now pay attention to this, because we often hear about the gift of speaking in tongues. And we often let our imaginations go as to what this might be, but the Acts of the Apostles makes it quite clear that they were preaching the gospel, the good news, to all of the people in all of the lands of the Roman Empire that were gathered there in Jerusalem for Pentecost. And they were speaking and preaching the gospel, but the people were hearing it in their own language. These Galileans, who had their own dialect and were speaking the good news were actually speaking in a way that was understood by the people in their own native tongues. The gift of tongues. What an amazing and powerful moment that must have been. And so, yeah, they were speaking in all of the different languages and began to preach to people, telling them the good news and causing people to take notice. How could they not in this moment? Now, I want you to hear me out on this. The Holy Spirit is a mobilizing spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit is a mobilizing spirit. So the Holy Spirit propels the disciples into action. They don't get filled with the Holy Spirit and go on a holy pilgrimage or go on a fantastic trip to Disneyland or take a wonderful vacation to some far-off exotic place. No, the Holy Spirit fills them, gifts them, and mobilizes them into action. And they cannot keep that passion that they've been filled with contained. Which brings me to the final point on the tongues of fire. The tongues of fire represent the wildness of the Holy Spirit. It cannot, it will not be contained. It cannot, it will not be stifled or quelled. The Holy Spirit is a spreading spirit. It spreads from one heart to the other, from one home to the next. It is contagious. It is a wild fire. It cannot and will not be contained. On Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, just to put this into perspective, Peter went out into the temple in Jerusalem and preached a fiery, passionate sermon. And 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus. Can you picture this? A simple fisherman from Galilee gets filled with a wild fire in his soul and goes out and preaches the good news to a massive amount of people. And out of that massive amount of people, out of that multitude, 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a wildfire. The Holy Spirit is a wildfire. Don't believe it? Ask the Roman Empire. In less than 400 years, it went from persecuting Christians to becoming Christian. That's unheard of. And not with the sword, not with a gun, not with weapons of mass destruction, but with the simple message of Jesus Christ is Lord. Turn from your lives. Turn from the sinfulness in your lives. Accept Jesus as Lord and be saved. My friends, this is unheard of. Nowhere in all of the history of humanity has such a feat been pulled off. Nowhere in the history of humanity did an entire empire, the strongest empire the world has ever known, the cruelest empire the world has ever known, the most brutal empire the world has ever known, nowhere in the history of humanity have we seen a peaceful people preaching love, peace, and the lordship of Jesus Christ take over such an empire. And yet in 400 years, the Roman Empire went from persecuting Christians to becoming Christian. On this Pentecost, all of these years later, the Holy Spirit is still active and wild and uncontainable. That Spirit is within each of you, and it is within the church as a whole. Look at all the Spirit has done thus far in your local church, in your denomination, and in the church global. Look at all the ways the Spirit has used us both individually and as a church body. Being risen, living the resurrected life, means being consumed by the fiery, passionate, and wild, the uncontainable, the unquellable Holy Spirit. My friends, I pray that you are filled with the Holy Spirit and that you work miracles in your community and beyond, because God has called you to do such, and if you open your heart to Christ, you will be filled and you will be compelled with that holy fire, that wild fire, that Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I just thank you and praise you for all who are listening to this today. And we thank you for challenging us with this message, because I know that somebody who is listening to this right now, somebody who is praying right now, is understanding what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and is being filled with the Holy Spirit in this moment. Lord, spark the passion within them so that they may burn with your passion, with the passion to share your good news, with the passion to love others unconditionally. Lord, I know that there are people listening to this right now who are being filled with your Holy Spirit, with your wild fire. Send them, Lord, into their communities to show your love to all people in a way that brings glory to you and brings others to Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this Pentecost message. This life-giving water message. I always look forward to having you tune in and to sharing these messages with you. I pray that it has affected you. I pray that you do get filled with God's holy and wild fire, God's Holy Spirit. And I pray that that you'll join me and tune in next week for next week's message. Until then, my friends, God bless you and be a blessing to others. Amen.